Hi, I'm Alicia Michelle, and as a trained and certified Christian mindset coach, I've helped hundreds of Christian women discover brain science-based mindset tools to help them grow closer to God and break free from anxiety, perfectionism, people-pleasing, and feeling like they're never enough. The Christian Mindset Coach is the award-winning podcast that shows you how to use simple brain science principles and biblical truth to renew your mind for lasting confidence, joy, and peace. I'm so glad you're here. Grab a cozy spot and let's get started. Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of The Christian Mindset Coach with me, Alicia Michelle. Well, if you are human, then you've experienced being tired and you know what it's like to feel like you're not just tired, but you're tired and you don't know what to do about it. That feeling of like, I know that there's a lot on my plate, but this stuff that's on my plate doesn't feel like it's going away, and yet it's draining me immensely. And I have no idea how to get past this. And so what do? We just keep pushing. We just keep telling ourselves that we have to keep going. And we feel this huge weight of feeling like we can't make it, or there's something wrong with us, that maybe we're the problem. Have you ever felt like any of these things? I definitely have experienced this. And I appreciate this new book that's coming out from Jess Connolly about being tired. It's called Tired of Being Tired. I appreciate that she addresses this topic from the reality of what it's like to be tired, but also doesn't give us quick answers and quick fixes to it. So I invited her on the podcast today to talk about this topic and to give us some first steps, to hear her story about what she's experienced, and to talk about some of the hidden things behind being tired that I think what I personally feel keep us stuck in this cycle of being tired, but not having no clue really, truly what to do about it. So I'm excited to share with you this conversation with Jess Connolly. Jess is the author and co-author of several books, including Wild and Free, You Are the Girl for the Job, and Breaking Free from Body Shame. Along with her husband, Nick, she planted Bright City Church in Charleston, South Carolina, where they live with their four children. Jess is a woman who wants to leave her generation more in awe of God than she found it. She's passionate about family, God's word, and seeing women take their place in the kingdom. So you can learn more about her at jessconnolly.com, or you can find her on Instagram at Jess A. Connolly. So here is that conversation with Jess on finding rest when you're tired of being tired. Hey, Jess, welcome to the podcast today.
Hi, it's such an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you so much. I have followed you for a while, and actually I heard you speak at our church. I am in San Diego, and I heard you speak at our church, I think it was last year. So I have loved seeing you in person and also like hearing your podcast and now reading this book. So I'm really honored to have you here, and especially to talk about this topic, because I think this is something that we all kind of struggle with, but we try to sweep under the rug, the idea of wanting to get over being tired, but not really knowing what to do about it. So let's start the conversation by just talking through the subtitle, because I think you used some really great interesting words, right? The subtitle for those of you listening is Receive God's Realistic Rest for Your Soul Deep Exhaustion. So I was like, ooh. Yeah. So receive. Why do you, that's a really important word in this topic about rest.
I know when I'm talking to an author, because she asks all the right questions. And I love that you have gone straight for the subtitle, because that's it. You're right. It's all in here. Every single word is so incredibly important of the subtitle. Now, I think the whole book's important, but I think if we really get the subtitle, life will change. So then the most important reason that receive God's realistic rest is the verb we use there, is because rest is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. Psalm 127 says he gives rest to those he loves. And I think that specifically for women, this book is you know, I'm always going to like have a bend towards women and think about women as I write. But this is actually also my first subtitle that doesn't have the word women or woman in it, because I was like, you know what? We're all tired. I'm always going to think primarily about women, but
right.
There's that. But I think specifically women, we tend to think of rest as another thing we have to do, another thing we have to figure out, another thing we have to be good at. And we feel so much shame already because we're not good at rest, because we're not perfect at it, when truly it's actually a gift from God.
Right. And that word receive puts us in a different posture.
when it comes to this topic of rest than just, you said, a checklist. So realistic rest, what's that
about? Yes. Well, what's interesting is I think what my hope for women, this book is very soul deep. We're looking to those words next if you want to. Those are also in the subtitle. And even the act of receiving, I think for us, is an act of receiving the understanding of rest, receiving the understanding of biblical rest and where it comes from and why and how God gives it to us. But also this idea of it being realistic for me pinpoints the truth that I think on the pendulum, there are two really different ways that a lot of people view rest. A lot of people see it as luxurious and unattainable and maybe something only for a privileged few. And then on the other end, I think sometimes there's this defeat that keeps us from accepting the more simple areas of rest in our life. And so we either see it as like so big and so grand, or we don't even see how specific and small it can be. And so I really want women to embrace a more realistic rest that is actually attainable in every different season of life. Because that's another issue, is that in different seasons, we just kind of say like, oh, it's not for me. It's not going to happen for me. I'm not going to be able to go on vacation, or I'm not going to be able to sleep 8 hours, or I'm not even going to be able to have a day off. And that defeat keeps us from embracing and receiving what we've been given.
Yeah. So just, I'm curious then, where have you been on that pendulum?
All over.
Yeah.
All over. I mean, these more like big, grandiose ideas of rest.
Yeah.
I have rejected that they are for me because of my personality. So I thought, I'm never going to go on a quiet retreat. That sounds awful to me. I'm never going to live a hushed and simple life. That's not my life anymore. The ship has sailed. It's wild. It's weird. It's messy. It's loud. So for a lot of seasons, I would think like that must be nice. That must be nice for people who can live like that. For me, I'm a pastor. I'm in ministry. I'm a coach. I'm involved in other people's lives. I'm a business owner. I'm a mother of four. I have a weird, wild, kind of smelly dog. Like, what am I going to do? I can't just like put on quiet symphony music pretend like my world doesn't exist. Exactly. So I've lived in that arena, but I've also tried to make rest really fussy. And I've tried to perform at it and be good at it and like make God proud of my rest and make other people proud. And in that, I've missed out on the more simplistic versions of it.
What tends to be where you fall right now in this journey?
Well, it's interesting. So one of the most important things that I found through writing Tired of Being Tired is that most women, and really I think most people in general, are not receiving rest because they don't know what kind of tired they are.
Yeah.
So I will say the way that I receive rest now is going to look so different because I know what kind of tired I am. And I know what God's called me to, and I know what can come off my plate and what can't, and I know where I need to pull back and where I need to press in. So it's interesting. A lot of people ask me like, okay, well, what does rest look like in your life right now? And I'll say like, I'm very happy to share, but you need to know that the most important thing you need to know is that if I describe it, it cannot be prescriptive because it might not even help you. What looks realistic to me in this season might actually exhaust other people, or it might not even begin to hit some of their pain points.
Yeah. I think that's really a great point because when we're trying to fix something, we want someone just to tell us what to do. We're like, okay, well, she does this, so I'm just going to pick these things up, when it really starts with an understanding of, like you said, where is the lack coming from? In which part of ourselves is it coming from? And we get to know ourselves to say, all right, if I'm lacking in emotional rest, then I know how to fix that in terms of how to put myself in a place where God can fill me in those areas. But I have to first know myself to know that. Versus just, Jess says to do this and that's going to fix it.
Exactly. And what's beautiful is that we don't just get to know ourselves through that process, but we get to know God through that process. And we let God know us intimately. We actually get to walk with him and experience intimacy with him. And then again, receive what it is that he's giving us intentionally as his kids.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's unique. It's different for each of us, which is great.
Yeah.
All right. the final phrase, soul deep exhaustion. So you're talking about more like we kind of alluded this a second ago. We're talking about more than just a physical need for sleep or something more surface level. It's that thing that I think that we're feeling, but we don't know how to describe. So how would you describe that?
I love that question. It's the phrases we all say all the time. It's things like, oh, I need a vacation for my vacation. Mm-hmm. Or I'm so tired of being tired. Or my brain feels fried. Or I can't even. Mm-hmm. Or I just have to get through the next few weeks. All of these kind of phrases, these ways that we talk about our fatigue, the way we talk about our exhaustion, what we're really saying is like, I need more than 8 hours of sleep. That's not going to help. Maybe for some of us, that's not even realistic. That might not come in this season. But there's something else going on. There's an issue going on. And so for me, what I realized is that until my mind was renewed by the transforming power of God's word, until I understood biblically what rest was and where I really could get it spiritually and where I could experience God's rest spiritually, none of the practical or realistic things I did were going to work. None of them were going to hit, as the kids say. None of them were going to actually steep in and make me feel any different if I didn't have something different going on spiritually.
Right. That makes sense because we're describing something. We're describing a longing that only God can fill, even if it's not necessarily a, quote, spiritual rest that we need. Like, it's a longing that he's created in us. So we have to start there. We have to understand that first.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing about that. I just found that subtitle really interesting. And like you said,
I love that.
Let's break it down. Okay. So let's start by talking, too, about what has been your story around this. You had shared some stories in the book about feeling like you were pushed to an exhaustion point, even experiencing some physical exhaustion in the hospital, but still feeling like that wasn't enough even to get you to stop. Yeah. And those of you listening know my story in this area too, but Jess, I would love to hear your story and what finally made you say like, this is it, like what finally made God get through to you in this area?
Yeah. Well, you know what I want to say first, which is interesting because one of the first things that I love to share with people before they read the book, before they even think about reading the book, is that I still get tired today. So I do not want to make it sound as if I never experience fatigue.
Yes.
Being tired is a symptom of being human. We live here under the effects of a fallen world. Our world is exhausting mentally, emotionally. Being in the now and not yet kingdom with God is even spiritually exhausting. Sometimes we see this all throughout scripture, and it's absolutely physically exhausting just to be a human alive in the year of our Lord 2024. So I still get tired now, but now I know how to handle my fatigue and how to walk with God to address it. So I just want to say that right now. I don't live a life where I'm never tired anymore.
That's super important. Yeah. No, I think we need to talk about that.
But so I would say the different points of my story that were lows along the way that were absolutely, you know, like huge warning signs, sometimes that I listened to and sometimes that I didn't listen to, were moments where I experienced such intense exhaustion in different areas of my life and then kept going. Mm-hmm. Then was like, oh, well, this must be my fault. So I'll press in harder. So when I was writing the book, I really started to think about it. And I said, when did I first start to feel tired? And for me, it was college. And that wasn't because I was up late writing papers or out partying. For me, I think I really started to feel tired in college because that was when I really started to buy the lie that my identity was based on how other people perceived me, specifically in a spiritual realm. So college is when I really started to want to seem like a good Christian girl. I wanted to be serving as much as I could. I wanted people to look at me and be proud of how much I knew the Bible. I wanted people to be proud of my relationship with my boyfriend, who would then become my husband. I wanted them to think like, oh my gosh, she writes all these articles about Jesus, or she does this, or she does that, or she leads this Bible study, or she babysits these people for free. It was the first time I really equated my spiritual worth to how much I can produce. And it's the first time I really started to feel tired. And then you can imagine, as my life moved on and I moved into early marriage and early motherhood, and different areas of serving within the church or serving other people or beginning my career, there became all these other little hills where instead of receiving God's rest, instead of kind of breaking ties with my identity based on who people thought I was or how great they thought I was or what I could do for them, I just kept buying lie after lie after lie about what I had to do to make other people happy, to make God happy, to be a woman who would show up and be for the kingdom. And so for me, the real problem moment culminated in 2021. And I just had really basically a complete mental and physical and emotional breakdown. You can throw in spiritual there too. But I say like, it, you know, it really kind of started in college. A lot of my issues around over-responsibility and again, just misunderstanding what it was that God expected of me, that those all really peaked in the pandemic. I was a local church leader who just felt like it was my job to keep everyone well, connected with God, happy with each other. I felt like I had to keep my family well and my family happy. And I would tell people later, after I began to process it, I genuinely somehow in my mind felt like the pandemic was my fault. That everybody was looking for someone to blame. And I was like, it's probably me. That sounds crazy. Wow. But if you could remember how it felt in 2020, the entire world was like, everybody's wrong. Everybody's done something wrong. And something about the mental, spiritual, emotional state I was in, as I was like, it's me. It's my fault. And so a year later, that truly led to a physical, spiritual, mental, emotional breakdown. I was having panic attacks. I stopped sleeping. I went through a really intense period of insomnia. And during all of this, I was doing all the things. I mean, I was praying. I was meeting with a spiritual director. I was meeting with a therapist. I was working out. I was taking supplements. I was doing everything you would tell someone to do to take care of themselves. But again, there was this fundamental issue of feeling like rest, even rest, was something I had to do to make God happy, something I had to do to please Him, rather than just knowing that it was going to cost me the start to receive it. And it might even cost some of the people around me, but that it was a life or death issue at that point.
Hey there, it's Alicia. Looking for a simple way to bring more peace into your day? I'm so excited to tell you about my newest resource, Christian Meditations for Daily Calm. This is a collection of 30 mini Christian meditation videos, each about 5 to 7 minutes long, designed to refresh your spirit when life is overwhelming and stressful. Each includes a Bible verse and an affirmation statement about your identity as a cherished daughter of God, a breathing exercise to calm your body, and a visualization so you can imagine with all of your senses what it's like to bask in these powerful truths. And at only 5 to 7 minutes long, you can listen to these meditations anywhere and fit them into even the busiest schedules. Listen, I've found Christian meditation to be not only a wonderful way to bring calm to my entire being, but also a great way to grow closer to God. The Christian Meditations for Daily Calm resource is an easy way to begin a regular Christian meditation practice or to just have a powerful stress-relieving resource on hand when you need to recenter yourself on God's Word. Head over to vibrantchristianliving.com/calm and get these 30 mini meditation videos on Bible verses to refresh your mind with God's peace and renew your confidence when life is overwhelming. You can even try a sample meditation at that link. Again, that's Christian Meditations for Daily Calm at vibrantchristianliving.com/calm.
Yeah, there's that level of responsibility that comes when we are people who are high achievers, hard workers. And we have to wrestle with that side of how am I supposed to show up before a loving God? How am I supposed to follow His call for me in a way that is honoring, but also doesn't somehow mix up that whole idea of I have to serve Him in order to be good, which totally confuses the idea of rest. And just, I mean, there's that concept, but then we're not really taught that rest is okay. We're not taught that it's healthy, and we're not even shown how to do it. Like, I think we have this pressure of, okay, maybe I am supposed to rest, but we don't even really know what that looks like. And so there's all of these competing things happening, which it sounds like what's happening for you. I know that I've experienced a lot of what you've gone through too, having that breakdown for me. It's 2017. So I was right there with you.
Yeah.
But it's, there's a lot of things that are competing. And I love, though, that you said that it's a human need for rest. You started off that story by talking about how we think we can conquer this and we can get the three steps to fix it. And yet there is that ultimate rest that we're all waiting for in heaven. That's not going to come until then. And so we have to find that in between. So what is that in between like as we're trying to figure that out? We can have more rest here, but it's not quite what we will have.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like a phrase that has really been on my mind for the last few months is this idea that we can practice for heaven. We do live in the now and not yet, where exactly like I say in the book that like the elephant in the room we have to talk about is like a lot of times when the Bible talks about rest, it's talking about us dying. So when you really do your research, it's like a little daunting because you're like, oh, that's what it's going to happen when I die. Okay, interesting. But a lot of what we do as we come into agreement with living in the kingdom and walking with God is that we're practicing for heaven. We're acknowledging what is God's and what is ours. Spoiler alert, you know, most of it's God's. Most of it is on him. And I think the work of walking with him is realizing that a lot of times. But knowing like what our physical limitations are is so beautiful and holy and is one way we can practice intimacy with them. I mean, even the idea of sleeping every day, of trusting the sovereignty of God to say like, and now I don't, whatever it is, I don't anymore. And you do. Like even sleeping is such a wild practice of practicing the sovereignty of God. But giving things over to him. Processing our emotions with him, which actually leads to rest. Processing our mental load with him. Learning to shut out other voices so that our minds are not so overwhelmed and so overburdened. All of these different things are, to me, just little ways that we can practice for heaven, that we can come into agreement with what our actual relationship will look like with him for eternity, rather than kind of like living under this false lie that it's all up to us and that we're building our worlds or that we're figuring it all out or that it's all up to us. It's funny, you know, we're at the start of the year, we're near the beginning of 2024 and everybody's doing their Bible reading plans. And so I don't know if anybody's like me, but like maybe sometimes you get to like Job or Nehemiah or even like Numbers and you're like, I'm out, done. That's all I ever got to. But I find that a lot of people get to the Tower of Babel, right? But it's crazy how a lot of times, like, we're all kind of living in the Tower of Babel. Like, we're all like, let's see how high we can build this thing and what we can do, which is actually not our eternal reality. That's actually not what God's invited us into. Really, what we're all going to want to be getting back to is a more Edenic reality where we can walk with God and talk with him and experience his sovereignty and his goodness and his provision.
Yeah, sounds like those are great thoughts on that. My question, and you alluded to this earlier too, is around the concept of shame. So this tends to come up for us because, again, we feel like, well, I want to, but I can't. It seems like we almost feel like we're failing at resting along with failing with everything else. Like one of the quotes that you had in the book is, you aren't the problem if you can't carry the weight of the world. The fallenness of humanity and the pace of our culture are the predicament. So how have we bought the lie that if we feel fatigued or overwhelmed, that we're bad, we're broken, we're inadequate?
Yeah. It's so crazy, like, because the enemy just knows us and he knows what is going to take us out. And so I think for so many of us, we don't even start resting because we feel so much shame about our fatigue. And the enemy is just convinced us, like, this is your fault. You're not strong enough or you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite passages about Jesus is when he's teaching on the Sabbath and he's answering the Pharisees and he's really just trying to instruct them. And it's in Mark 2. And he says, like, hey, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. And so even just this idea to remind humans, like, you weren't made to rest well. Rest was actually made. This is for you. This is to give for you. It's not something I want from you. It's not something I want you to perform. And we know this if we shake our heads and remember, even the Ten Commandments, even the way that in Genesis creation is set up, there was evening and there was morning the first day, even in seeing our Heavenly Father rest, All of these things aren't things God wants from us. They're not things he wants us to perform. The point of earth is not so that we can like do everything God wants and he can check it all off. You know, he wants to enjoy his creation. He wants us to enjoy him. And so even this idea that rest is for us and not something God wants from us is such an encouragement to me. But of course, the enemy would be like, I don't know if you're doing it right. Or I think the fact that you're tired is actually your fault. Mm-hmm. It's such a great argument. It's such a great like kick in the teeth. But the way that we know this is true, the way that we know that it's not weak to need rest, but it's human, is through the life of Jesus. Because being fully God and fully man, he slept. He needed rest. He even needed to withdraw from people who needed from him because he honored the physical limitations of being human. So if he couldn't conquer somehow being human, being fully God, then why would we think that our humanity is somehow displeasing to God?
And not only that he couldn't conquer it, which we know, of course, he could because he's God and he could do anything.
Yes.
I know you're saying that.
He chose to come into the limitations of being human.
But that he was leading by example. And so he did that on purpose. Because it's like he could have lived the perfect life and had all these great things that he did that we could never do. But rest was one of those things that clearly he knew we needed a model for. And he showed us how to do that, not by saying, you know, he is the God who never sleeps because he's part of the Trinity and that's, you know, controlling everything.
Yes.
But he still came into those limitations to show us how to live within those things, how to be human. Like you said, maybe it's to learn how to be human. Yeah.
Exactly. And like Hebrews 4 tells us, we don't have a great high priest who doesn't understand. Instead, we have one who has entered in willingly and lovingly for our good.
Right.
And so he does even understand this predicament of exhaustion.
Yes. Okay. So another obstacle that I feel like you mentioned in the book, but to me is super high up there, the idea of shame, which we just talked about. But the other one is this idea of it's scary to be alone with God, to slow down, to stop. And to me, that was the biggest lesson of the pandemic, was that a lot of us were faced with these inner demons that we could have kept at bay if we just kept our schedules going and did all the things. But now all of a sudden everything stopped and here we are. So it's very risky. It's very vulnerable to rest. Can you share your thoughts on that?
I mean, I feel like you summed it up great. It is. It just is. My favorite thing about anything in our life that's risky or vulnerable or scary is just acknowledging like, yep, it is. But are we trying to get to the end of this life safe? Are we trying, you know what I'm saying? Like, are we trying to get to the end of this life never having done anything uncomfortable? Number one, we can't because again, human. So we're not going to escape doing things that make us uncomfortable. I would much rather do things that make me uncomfortable that also bring God's glory. And so I think we get to start to ask, okay, why? Why is it risky? Why is it vulnerable? I think so many of us are going to find like the reason I don't want to stop. It's number one, I'm scared of who I am if I rest. Number two, I'm scared of what I'll find to be true about God if I rest. I think number one, that's so deep. That in and of itself is life-changing. But if we start to ask, okay, why? Why am I scared? What do I think am I going to find underneath that? What am I scared that I'm going to find out about me? What do I think I'm going to find out about God? Starting to let our soul kind of unfurl with those questions. I don't know that any of us can give the right answer for anybody else, but I know what the answer is, and it's intimacy with God. It's the same spirit that hovered over the water at creation in our midst, bringing us comfort and bringing us insight and bringing us really new wisdom and new knowledge about who we are and about who he is. But I love that you just say like, it is risky. And I wrote about this in the book. I'm not sure if you read this, but we almost named the book Risky Rest. That's what I wanted to call it.
Oh, yes. I remember reading that. Yeah.
I called it that in my head for years. And finally we realized it's probably not a great selling point for most people. But I wanted to be honest with the whole book and say, this is scary. This takes courage. This is going to take bravery. But we know that we can't be brave and we can't be courageous until we're scared. So if you're scared what you might find to be true about you or what you might find to be true about God, don't wait for that feeling of fear to go away. before you start resting. Go scared and experience the courage and the comfort that is going to be found in the presence and power of God.
Right. Yeah. No, that's so true. That is really the underlying thing, is we're afraid. We're afraid. And so I love that. When I read about Risky Rest, I thought of Risky Business. That's the first thing I thought of. And I'm like,
that's so funny.
Yeah, that's probably not what they would want.
That's so funny.
But,
yeah, probably not.
Probably not. So then, okay, we have to ask the question, kind of to sum it all up. Where do we start? Where do we start with this concept of rest in a real way? One of the things that I really appreciate about you in general and your ministry, but this book, is that you're not afraid to say this is hard, and you're not sugarcoating it. Like you said, you're not making it all about like, oh, let's just create this really simple, quiet life. Like, we know that's not possible necessarily for everyone. And so what are some real ways that we can make this a first step of change?
Yes. You know, a lot of the book is going to walk people through figuring out, again, the source of their fatigue. Because I could say like, okay, you need a Sabbath routine, or you need a morning routine, or you need to learn to say no, or you need better strategy around your time, or you need less distractions. I could say any of those blanket statements, but the fact that that's not going to be true,
right,
for everyone. Because we have different sources of fatigue. So for me, for example, the biggest places of fatigue in my life are planning and leadership. Mm-hmm. So I need spaces where I am not being asked to plan or to lead anything at different points of the day.
Yeah.
I need daily moments where I can rest from these really fatiguing parts of my life. And I need weekly moments where I can rest from these really fatiguing parts of my life. And I need more rhythmic moments throughout the year where I can get a release from those things. But that's what works for me. So if I told maybe somebody listening, like, well, you need to make sure you take daily breaks from planning, they might be like, I don't even plan every day.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right, yeah.
That would be, you know, so I would say there's a lot of freedom and a lot of fruit in finding the source of your fatigue. And the book will absolutely help you do that. But I have an even more practical step before that, that I actually believe will be life-changing. Mm. And just as I've started to teach and talk about the message of the book, God has given me this kind of one action step that I want to hand to people over and over and over again. And that's this. If people will admit they're tired, it all might start to change.
Right. Yeah.
If they will get honest and say, I'm tired, then the next follow-up question behind that is, you know, like, well, what do you think God says about that?
Or and what does that mean about you, right? What does that mean about me if I say that? Yeah.
Yeah. And do you want to stay tired?
Right.
And do you think Jesus died on the cross so you would live an exhausted life?
Yeah.
Do you want to do something about it? How do you feel about the fact that you're tired? I think honestly, just saying, not like humble bragging about like, oh, I barely got any sleep last night, or I have so much on my plate, or I'm busy, but I'm good. But just actually getting honest and sitting with somebody else, maybe even just listening to those podcasts and saying like, I'm tired. I'm really tired.
Yeah.
I think that might change some people's lives.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. And I think that's great advice. And again, that it's not the answer is going to be different for all of us in terms of what the next action step is, but we can start at that place just by admitting it, to know this is a reality. And am I willing to confront it, or am I willing to stay in the same place? That's always a question I have in coaching is, all right, so here's where you're at. Do you want to change? Like, are you willing to go through the uncomfortable side of it? Because we can be frustrated, but we have to be frustrated enough to make change. Otherwise, we're just talking about it.
So good.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Jess, thank you so much for sharing today. Tell us again where we can learn more about you, your resources, this new book, all that good stuff.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. You can go to jessconnolly.com. And on the website, I'm also Jess A. Connolly on all social media places. But on jessconnolly.com, you can get the first chapter, Tired of Being Tired. You can read more about it. You can see a ton of different resources. And I'd love to connect either on social media, Jess A. Connolly, or on my website, jessconnolly.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jess. I really appreciate this conversation today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
as I shared in the beginning, I really appreciated that she wants to approach this topic of feeling tired and needing rest from a realistic standpoint, in that, you know, it's not about just us clearing our schedule and making this brand new life that is going to, quote, fix all our problems. Like, we have to learn how to find rest right here. We have to learn what it means to deal with the tiredness here. And also, as she was alluding to in this conversation, like, feeling rested is possible, but we are still always going to have a sense of feeling tired because we are human. And it doesn't mean that we're broken or bad. If we feel like that, we have that full rest that is coming for us in heaven. At the same time, we can find that balance in between. It's just, like she was saying, finding out more about where we are, what is making us tired, and what we want to do about it. Are we willing? I mean, friend, are you willing to really look at this in your life and to honestly say, I want to be different? Because we can talk about it and Jess can share some ideas here. But as she was saying, like, we have to be willing to see that it is something that we want to change. And we have to be willing to begin to look at what it could be that needs to be rested in terms of, is it a certain part of our life? Is it a certain part of ourself? I appreciate that she said at the end that she needed rest from leadership and from these roles of decision-making. And I think, you know, we can break down rest into parts of self and even adding parts like social rest and things like that. But when she said that, that really struck home for me, because I thought, that is how I feel. When I get stressed and feel overwhelmed with my family, it's because I feel like I've had to be the decision maker on all of these things. And that wears me out to have to plan all the meals and to come up with what we're making and doing for the holidays and all of the list. You know, if you're a mom or leading a family, you understand what that's like. As women, we're often in that role. And that's outside of even the roles we put on, maybe in a career or in ministry. And so I personally, this is just me speaking, I feel that burden of tiredness around leadership. And that is an interesting place to explore. So I'm curious for you as a next step, what would be the places that you feel could best help you find rest in this season? Like she said, it's shifts and changes every season, but what could those things be for you? And it might help you to think about them in terms of the parts of self, spiritual, emotional, intellectual, and physical. But it also can be helpful just to think about it from a concept level, like the idea of being a leader or the person who has to make all the decisions. And the best news is, of course, that God is with us in this. He knows you. He knows what you need. He made you a certain way. He wired you with certain things, and he understands what you're going through, and he understands what's realistic in this season. So we have a Savior who not only understands and walks with us in these things, but he's modeled it, what it's like to walk in a spirit that honors this body and the calling that we have by showing up well-rested. So I encourage you to check out Jess's book. It's called Tired of Being Tired: Receive God's Realistic Rest for Your Soul Deep Exhaustion. We'll have a link in the show notes to be able to get a copy of it on Amazon. But I encourage you to take that next step and to really challenge yourself by asking those questions, but also asking, am I tired enough of this to do something about it? So I would love to continue this conversation with you too on Instagram. You can always reach out to me there. It's at Alicia Michelle Coach. Would love to have you send a DM, or you can respond to any of the posts that we'll have around this concept of being rested and looking for rest, feeling tired. What are your thoughts on this? What are the biggest struggles that you have in being able to stop and to truly find rest? I would love to hear from you. So reach out to me there. Let's be friends on Instagram at Alicia Michelle Coach. All right. Take care, friends. I look forward to seeing you next week on the podcast. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining me today for the Christian Mindset Coach. If you love today's show, you've got to check out my free mindset workshop. In this free training, I share about the secret weapon for rewiring our brain to align with God's truth, the proven brain science tool that pro athletes and high achievers have used for decades. I've personally helped hundreds of Christian women use this tool to find healing from a lifetime of worry, shame, and striving. And I'd love to help you use this tool in your life as well. Sign up now for this free training at vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. I'll see you back here next week.